Here's your money briefing for Monday, February 22nd. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. On Friday, we discussed new rules that protect 401k account holders who want to roll their savings over into an IRA. Today, we look at the broader retirement crisis of Americans not saving up enough to live comfortably after they retire. Government and academic data shows that is especially true among Black Americans.
So data shows that over, you know, just in a normal course of events, that among people who have 401ks who are Black, they're more likely to take money out of those 401ks before retirement. So whether it's through the hardship withdrawals or whether it's through cashing out of 401k plans when people leave jobs, that happens quite a bit.
That's our retirement reporter, Ann Turgeson. Coming up, she'll tell us what some states are doing to boost retirement savings and close the wealth gap. And we'll speak with a financial planner who works with Black clients about some of the challenges they face. That's after the break.
Join the Wall Street Journal at the Future of Everything Festival on May 21st to 23rd in New York City, where diverse global newsmakers share unique perspectives on navigating a changing world. Immerse yourself in live performances, explore pioneering technologies, and indulge in the city's inventive culinary scene. As a podcast listener, enjoy 20% off current ticket rates with code PODCAST. Visit wsj.com/FOEF podcast to secure your spot.
The looming retirement crisis in America has left many households ill-prepared for their later years. But the data indicates that Black Americans are significantly further behind than their white counterparts. In a moment, we'll speak with a financial planner about how her Black clientele is coping. But first, let's bring in our retirement reporter, Ann Turgeson. She's covered the retirement picture extensively for the Wall Street Journal. She's been looking into this particular issue, and she joins me now. Ann, thank you for taking the time to be with us.
You're welcome.
So can you give us a sense of how big a disparity we're talking about? How wide a gap is there in average retirement savings between white and Black families?
It's substantial. According to some estimates by the Urban Institute, Black families on average have about 1/6 the amount set aside for retirement that white families do. So the average account balance being about $25,000 for Black households versus almost $160,000 for white households.
Now, how much does savings outside of retirement holdings play a role in this disparity?
So two big ways that people generally save for retirement now is either through a 401k or IRA, so some type of retirement savings account, or secondly, through your home equity. So that's another way that people, you know, they purchase a home and over time they pay off their mortgage and they build home equity. And then in retirement, you know, oftentimes people will sell their home and they'll downsize to a rental or something less expensive and they'll have a lot of home equity that they can monetize and they can use to supplement their Social Security. So, but here again, there's been there's a huge disparity, you know, with in terms of the home ownership rates. We're at a 50-year high in terms of the gap between Black households and white households. Something in the low 70% of white households own their own home versus something like 42% of Black households. So it's a significant gap. And then it also shows up in the home equity figures, where Black households have significantly less home equity, in large part because they are significantly less likely to own a home.
And that adds up. Government data shows that the gap in net worth between Black and white families has grown more than 50% in the past 30 years. Here to discuss further what this means for Black families is Tremaine Wills. She's a financial planner from the Hampton Roads area of Virginia who works with Black individuals and families. Tremaine, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So tell me about the people and the families that are on your client list.
I primarily serve Black women entrepreneurs. Many of them are single, younger individuals who are just getting started on their journey. I also have a couple clients that are in their 40s who are young families as clients as well.
What are the biggest factors that stand in the way of many of your clients being able to either start the saving process or save over time for retirement?
I wish there were only one. The two biggest ones have to do with income and then lack of education. So with my clients not making as much as their counterparts, even though they might be as educated, this impacts their ability to put extra money away every month. Because if I'm making less, but my expenses are the same for living in the same area than a counterpart that I have who might be making, you know, 20% more than me, I'm not able to save as much because I don't have as much discretionary income. So that's one of the biggest things that I'm seeing some of my clients face, is that hurdle of, you know, I'm not making enough compared to someone else who has the exact same credentials in my same type of field. The next thing is this education piece. So there is this fear around investing and what that looks like. And when we don't know what something is, we tend to stay away from it. It brings us this level of anxiety where we can't explain, you know, okay, well, what exactly is going to happen, because we don't have control. And so for many of my clients and their peers, they don't understand how the compounding interest works and, you know, what it means to invest in a stock and to have a portfolio. And so instead of reaching out and feeling that, you know, sometimes we have this, you know, this embarrassment when you feel like you should know something, but you don't. And so instead of reaching out to find the answer to it, you kind of just keep to yourself and suffer with not knowing. And so many people suffer through that. And instead of getting the information to what they need, they wait until it's too late. And then they're approaching retirement age and they only have $30,000. And we know that that's not enough money to retire. But had we had the courage or had the access to the education prior to that time period, we would have been better equipped. So those two have been some of the biggest things that I've been seeing. But, you know, there's endless reasons why.
Now, in terms of access to a 401k, how does the type of jobs that your clients and other people in the African-American community, the types of jobs they have, how does that keep them from having as easy access to 401k as other people?
When you think about retirement programs, right, these are benefits of the employer that you work for. And so depending on the type of position that I am in, the benefit that my employer provides, there are different levels of the types of benefits I qualify for. So if I am in entry-level positions in jobs that are not deemed as important as others, I may not be in a role where I can take advantage of the 401k or the similar programs. And so many of my clients are in positions now where they are able to establish their own retirement programs for their companies, but it took some time for them to get there. And even as business owners, Black women are not making as much money as other business owners. They don't have the same access to capital, the same resources, the same access to information. So a lot of these things surround the same issue. So the access, the type of role that people are in, and just the ability to fund the programs is what really helps people start to build that wealth.
Now, can you talk to our audience about the financial responsibilities of people in the African-American community that might not be understood by people in other sectors of the population?
Yes. So one of the things I mentioned was this Black tax, where when you are the first in your family or one of the first in your family to step into wealth or to step into higher income, it is this expectance that you will help. Right? You will help the family members who may not make as much money, who may not have a college education, who don't have that same opportunity. And so while on paper, it might look like, yes, you're bringing in six figures and you should be doing well. Well, some of your income is being diverted and directed to other family members. So it looks like you should be able to save and invest and do more than our counterparts. But the reality is, you have other responsibilities that sometimes don't exist in other communities. And so when we think about, you know, our networks and how that helps elevate us, when African Americans tend to look around their peers, if they are the first in their space to step into wealth, that usually means that many of their peers are not doing as well as they are. And so when you go back home and, you know, you're expected to help a sibling or help a parent or help, you know, whoever person in your circle, that's this additional stress on your resources that stretches your money. So while you might have had, you know, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 of disposable income, well, all of that can't go towards building wealth. It has to go towards who else needs assistance so that I can support and bring them along.
Could that put somebody in a position to drain some money from their 401k?
Absolutely, right? So when you think about the proximity of resources, right? So let's say I have a sibling that in my eyes has all this money and I need help, right? And I have nowhere else to turn. And I go to my sibling and I'm expecting this assistance. Even if the sibling knows it is not in their best interest to make this withdrawal from their 401k and they know all of the implications that are around it, this emotional burden can often say, hey, okay, this is my sibling, right? I have to help. And so that additional responsibility then turns to, I worked so hard for all of this, but now I have to take this step back and help out. So, you know, it definitely can have an impact on our ability to grow the money that we have in retirement plans if so many people are pulling at our emotions.
All right. That's financial planner Tremaine Wills joining us from Virginia. Tremaine, thanks so much for chatting with us.
Thank you so much for having me. This was awesome.
So, Anne, we know from the data that for all the reasons Tremaine just spoke about, Black Americans have less saved up for retirement now. Now, during the pandemic, the government made it easier for people to make hardship withdrawals from the retirement accounts. Has that contributed to the problem?
Yeah, so data shows that over, you know, just in a normal course of events, that among people who have 401ks who are Black, they're more likely to take money out of those 401ks before retirement. So whether it's through the hardship withdrawals or whether it's through cashing out of 401k plans when people leave jobs, that happens quite a bit. And the prevalence of that is higher among 401k owners who are Black versus white. So it just gets back to this issue of Black Americans have lower average incomes than white Americans. And when there's a need for emergency funds, there may be fewer assets to draw on. So the retirement savings plan is sitting there, and that becomes sort of a de facto emergency savings account for some portion of people.
So what's being done to try to address the problems and close the wealth gap?
One way that people can agree on that we can address the gap when it comes to retirement savings is to make retirement savings plans more accessible. So there's some states like California and Oregon that currently have programs that mandate that companies of a certain size who don't already offer a retirement savings plan should offer people access to a state-run program. And then, you know, the workers can opt out. They don't have to do this, but at least, you know, it's something that's available to them as opposed to having nothing available.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal retirement reporter Ann Turkeson. Ann, thanks for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.